Phil Currie is political editor with the Australian Financial Review. Phil, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
9,000 Australians, we all know this now, trapped in India, including 40 cricket players and officials added to that list. The minister telling us that repatriation flights will resume in 10 days' time, but it's still unclear to me, Phil, anyway, what's so magic about that date? If the virus is still raging in India, the number of people coming home likely to be infected is still a problem with our current quarantine system not coping. That's the reason for the pause at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, because of the high percentage of people coming in from India with the infection, 57%. So, look, I don't know any more than you, Fran, other than what the Minister said and the Prime Minister said when he announced the suspension of flights, that they needed some time just to bolster the quarantine system and prepare, I guess, for the high rate coming in. But, as to what they're doing behind the scenes, I'm not sure. The edginess to this one is the Australian citizens. I mean, it's not unusual. Nearly every other country has shut. A lot of other countries have shut their borders to travellers from India, but most are still allowing their citizens in under extra precaution. Like the Singaporeans, for example, they have about 10 to 15% of citizens with Indian heritage in there. And I spoke to them recently, and they said they're making their citizens come back in and do 21 days.
Yeah, the Iraqis sent a plane to bring their citizens home, and they have to quarantine.
Yeah, so perhaps the government's looking at something like that extra period of quarantine, maybe quarantining them separately from travellers from other countries, I don't know, but that's as it stands.
What they're not looking at, would seem, is any kind of extra surge open-air quarantine capacity. They're not looking at an army base or a tent base or anything like that.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure. I know there's a sense of urgency about it inside government to get this going again. I mean, they're acutely aware of how it looks, although that's... Yeah, we should be careful here, Fran, in terms of discussing the politics of it. I don't think it's all one way or the other. I was doing a talkback radio station discussing this, talkback radio in Adelaide yesterday, and their traffic is 4-1 in favour of what the government is doing.
As I was speaking to the minister, some people were saying, "In, why are you giving her a hard time about, keeping the borders shut to India?"
Well, Fran, in some cases, this is not dissimilar to how some of the states were reacting last year. Taking measures that were deemed, as unnecessary or over the top or in some cases cruel under the guise of keeping people safe, and they were rewarded for it politically. So, no two things are ever exactly the same in politics, but there are similarities here to the hardline stance under the umbrella of keeping everyone safe. So it's worked, and the federal government fought the states for quite a while on some of these things and was punished for it. So... I'd be careful about sort of saying this is, people are reacting all one way or the other on this.
On another issue, Energy Australia has announced it'll build the country's first gas hydrogen plant, it's been described as, in the Illawarra in New South Wales. We'll be speaking to them after 8. It's going to produce 300 megawatts of energy. It's like a peaking plant, so it's a stabiliser around renewable energy. But the federal government wants more of that capacity, and it's planning to build its own gas plant in the Hunter Valley. In fact, I think your newspaper came up with that story. It's all designed to plug the gap left by the Liddell coal-fired power station in a few years' time. But plenty of experts saying that Hunter Valley capacity that the government's saying it'll build is unnecessary. It will distort the market. Why is the government so hell-bent on this?
Look, it's a good point, Fran. The Prime Minister said last year when the Liddell closes, the government said that will create a capacity gap of 1,000 megawatts. So unless the private sector filled the gap, the government would. The Energy Australia plant is about 316, and the feds are saying, well, we're going to still go ahead with our plan. It's going to be in the budget for another station at Currie up to 660 megawatts. Now, the industry almost as a whole says this 1,000 megawatt figure is pie in the sky. We don't know where it's come from. We don't think it's necessary. They think about no more than 200 is necessary. The government says if you just provide the 200, and this is gas/hydrogen-fired power to back renewables.
Yeah.
They say if you just do that, all you're going to do is ensure reliability. You're not going to push prices down. So essentially, their view is they want to flood the market with power and to push down prices. Remember when the Prime Minister announced that gas-led recovery, he said the whole idea is to push down prices on the East Coast and help households and businesses. But the way electricity markets work and the way energy is dispatched from different sources, the experts are even sort of questioning whether that would happen. Even if so, it's we're sort of in the weeds again on energy policy, Fran, but I suspect, I know, the government is fairly resolved to do this and build that power station in addition to the Energy Australia project. And this is in addition to New South Wales, you know, wanting to put 14 gigawatts of renewable energy into the grid there as well. So yeah. Going from maybe not having enough to weigh too much. So it's going to be an argument, but I think it's, it's going to be politics versus the science of energy again.
Plenty of government intervention, that's for sure. Phil, thank you very much.
Yeah, we're all interventionists now.
Phil Currie is political editor with the Financial Review.